Well, good morning, Good Hope. Good morning. What a blessed day it is to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. And I also want to acknowledge all the mothers in the house today again. This is your special day. So happy Mother's Day again to all of you all. And hopefully your family has some plans to pamper you this day. Matter of fact, take the whole week and celebrate Mother's Day today. Amen. Let's give a round of applause for our dynamic pastor, Dr. D.Z. Cofield, and how the Lord is using him and his vision for the church. And we praise God for our pastor. Amen. And I thank God for my loving wife and mother, the epitome of a mother and a wife, who's joining me today to bring today's message. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Lord, we celebrate your goodness, grace, and mercy, your long-suffering, Lord, your unconditional love for us. And more than anything else, Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins, that we partake of your kingdom. It's a free gift from you. Lord, so we pray that what will be said and done will find fertile ground in the hearts and the minds of those who hear, that it will change their marriage, change their life, and that they will commit to serving and experiencing you like never before. Hide us behind the cross and let your word go forth. We thank you for all that you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.
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 Good morning, Good Hope. You know, God is absolutely sovereign. Absolutely nothing happens without his involvement. He directed or allowed every husband and wife to come together as one for his divine purpose. Two different and unique individuals like Daryl and I, and like you and your spouse. One of you may be highly organized, while the other thinks the chair is a valid storage system. One may be a communicator that always has to paint you a detailed picture, and the other gives a direct five-word reply. One of you likes highly emotional, profoundly relational, cinematic works of art, movies. And the other likes 90 minutes of taekwondo action with subtitles. One spouse may be deeply analytical, and the other just wants to make a quick decision. In God's omnipotence, he put two totally different people together to become one beautiful, powerful representation of Christ and his church.
And what's interesting is God made us different by his divine design. And the truth of the matter is during the dating period when people considering marriage, there are differences in just a simple non-issue. There's no problem at all. Whatever you want to do, where you want to go to eat for dinner, they give in. We don't agree on it, but hey, it's no big deal. But then all of a sudden they become so engulfed in their deep love for one another, and they can't wait to say, I do. But once they finally say, I do, until death do us part, their dreams of living a happy life together as husband and wife turn into disappointments. And they begin to struggle, begin to have communication issues. There's some unresolved conflict. There's some unmet expectations. And there's just a litany of problems. And instead of experiencing God in their marriage, they're wondering, where is God in this marriage? Are you truly experiencing God in your marriage, or are you simply just surviving day at a time? You're just making it through day by day. Now, some of you all are probably thinking, I have a great marriage. Don't have any problems, but keep on living, and you will have problems, because no marriage is exempt from struggles in life. And some of you all are struggling. Some of y'all have been through a struggle. You're in a struggle now, but there is a struggle on the horizon. So my question to you as we begin to dive into this particular message today is this. Do you sometimes feel like you're struggling on a daily in your marriage? Or do you feel that you are experiencing stress, fear, and anxiety? Are you tired of just trying to make the relationship work? Are you experiencing disappointments and unmet expectations? We came to tell you today that there is hope, and there's hope for your marriage starting today. Whether you're married or you're preparing for marriage, today we're going to give you a word that will be a tremendous encouragement to your life. So there are four powerful truths that we want to present to you today that will help you to experience God like never before. And the title of today's message is this: How to Experience God as a Couple. How to experience God as a couple. And if you're going to experience God as a couple, the first thing we want you to know is to pursue his purpose. The first thing you must do is to pursue his purpose. You can experience God as a couple by living out his purpose for your marriage.
Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them."
Now, just so you know, this is a foundational text to every marriage case that we use, whether it's a premarital case or it's a marriage case, because people come to counseling, typically marriage counseling, because why? They don't understand the purpose of marriage, and we got married for the wrong reasons. So this is a foundational text to marriage counseling and to ministering to those who are married or planning to be married. And it's the first part that says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And verse 27 says, it says, "He made man in his image." So I ask couples this question right here. I asked them, what is the difference between these two verses? Do you see it? What's the contrast? And I helped them to see that in the first verse, it says, God said, "Let us." Well, what happened to that in verse 27? You would think that verse 27 would read, and they made man in their image. It doesn't say that. It says, "And he made man in his own image." The Godhead is still there, but it's mentioned as one single unit. So the reflection of God's image then, point A, the purpose of marriage is to reflect the image of God in terms of God's plurality and oneness of the Godhead. Point B, the purpose of marriage is to reflect the image of God's character as seen in the person of Jesus Christ.
The Apostle Paul teaches that Christian marriage is a divine metaphor. Husbands are to love sacrificially like Christ, and wives are to honor and respond like the church. Together, they tell the story of the gospel to a watching world. In reflecting Christ, couples are sharpened. They're sanctified. They're stretched. Forgiveness models Christ's grace. Selflessness mirrors Christ's love. And faithfulness displays God's covenant. Whether you know it or not, your marriage is a sermon. You are preaching your marital story every time you encounter others. If a wife is controlling, that marriage preaches a gospel of mistrust, one where fear overrides faith, submission is replaced with domination, and the beauty of oneness is distorted by the need to control. If a husband is passive, that marriage preaches the gospel of indifference and neglect, one where leadership is absent, love is silent, and Christ's sacrificial pursuit is misrepresented. So, marriage should be a witness to unbelievers, a model for children and for younger couples, a light in a culture that distorts love, gender, and unity. So the question is, What story is your marriage telling to a watching world?
Now, she mentioned something about being passive now, passive husbands. Now, some husbands, listen, we just want peace. That's all. Leave me alone. I'll get to the trash when I get to the trash. I know I got to take it out. Or your wife wants you to do something, and you say, I'll take care of it, and then she's supervising you. You missed something. Instructing you. Huh? So, yes, we are different, and we relate to each other differently. But I will say this, a lot of times, the problem comes in our marriage because we have a misunderstanding of the purpose of marriage. My wife and I got married on July 28, 1984. And I thought I knew the purpose of marriage. I thought I knew my role. My role was to provide and protect my wife and family. And if you ask most men that question, they will say to provide and protect. Yes, it does involve that, but it's much, much more than that. But I thought I knew. I got this down. I'm a man. I got this down. But listen, I didn't know how to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I couldn't understand why she made a big deal out of small stuff. Why is it the toilet seat left up? Why don't you put it down? I'm thinking, so I don't have to lift it up the next time I come back to the bathroom. I'll be back. Why is the toilet paper coming over the top and underneath? Why are you squeezing the toothpaste in the middle and not the bottom? So we had all these different ideas, and we had this engaging conversations between the two of us. We're different, but I learned, y'all, I was not loving her like I stated. And my wife, she could out-talk me back then. She could out-think me. So when we get into an argument, I'm no match. So I got smart, y'all. I kept a little spiral notebook tablet in my pocket. So when she did something, I like a court report, I would write it down. Write it down. So the next argument we had, she was going off. I grabbed my tablet. December the 8th, 8:47 Central Standard Time. You did this. And you did that. You did this. I went down this list. And she started crying. I was having fun, y'all. So she started crying. I said, what's wrong? You hurt me. That broke my heart. Because I didn't want to hurt my wife that way. And I said, never again. So the point is, I was not loving her. Because true love does not take an account of wrong suffered. The Word of God says that. And I was doing that. So our purpose in marriage is to reflect the image of God. Oneness and plurality, but also the character of God as seen in the person of Jesus Christ. If your purpose and my purpose is to glorify God, we can only glorify God by reflecting the image of Christ. What kind of person is Christ? Well, he's loving, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's patient, he's good, and he loves us unconditionally. And when a husband and wife reflect those type of attributes, it makes for a perfect marriage. Question for you. If I asked your spouse sitting next to you, how would they rate you on a scale of 1 to 5 in terms of how well you reflect the image of Christ? What would they say? What would they say? Be careful now, because I asked them the same question about you. The purpose is we all are a work in progress, but our purpose nonetheless, according to God's word, is to reflect the image of God. So if you're going to experience God, you must pursue his purpose in your marriage. Second point, you must also practice obedience. You can experience God as a couple by walking daily in obedience to his word.
John 14:21 reads, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him.
Jesus says, the Father and the Son will love him who knows me and obey my commandments. And when a person does that, out of their obedience, I will reveal more of myself to them. What command is Jesus speaking of? Well, Jesus talks about it. In John 15, 12, 13, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. Greater love has no one has than this, that he lays down his life for his friend." Lay down his life for his friend. The commandment, y'all, is to love unconditionally. Typically, we love based on what we get in return. But the Word of God says we are to love, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Let me give y'all a pop quiz. Y'all can just fill in the blank. I asked you some questions, and y'all can just fill in the blank. Christ died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, we have been, because we have been forgiven, we have a relationship with the Father who is in heaven. Throughout our years of counseling and serving, we realize that one of the most common areas of disobedience in marriages is in the area of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And unforgiveness and disobedience to God's word are roadblocks. They create disunity in the marriage, and it's impossible to experience God in a marriage where you have both people intentionally violating God's word. It's a stumbling block. Let me give you an example. I played softball for 25 years, and I was an outfielder, pretty good at it. So any outfielder never stands like this in the outfield. They always turn their back and watch the batter and the pitcher, and the ball's hit, they run backwards like this, looking at the ball and running forward. So one time I played in a game in the hood, and the guy hit a ball deep, and I was running back to catch the ball, and I ran into a telephone pole. Boom! And my mouth was bleeding, knocked me down. So I'm saying is this. Many of us, we want to run forward to where God wants us to be, but we're too busy looking back at our past. We're too busy focusing on how we've been hurt, how we've been offended, how we've been injured by our spouse, that we are running into telephone poles that's causing disunity in the relationship. Not just unforgiveness, y'all, it's anger. That's a telephone pole. Refusing to communicate, that's a telephone pole. Holding bitterness and resentment, withholding intimacy, sleeping in separate rooms, exchanging insult for insult is a telephone pole that gets in the way of God wanting to get you to where he wants you to be.
Obedience to God is the key to fulfilling your role as a husband.
Amen.
And as a wife. Jesus made it clear that love for him is expressed through obedience. That same obedience shapes how we love, how we lead, how we submit and respect in marriage. When both spouses walk in obedience to God, they become accountable, not only to one another, but also to the Lord. Disobedience weakens spiritual accountability and opens the door to all sorts of conflict, pride, and distance, unforgiveness as well. Obedience empowers you to resolve conflict in humility instead of holding a grudge forever and fracturing the relationship. But did you know that it is in the context of marriage that your weaknesses are exposed? Your impatience, pride, selflessness, insecurity, wounds from your past, and inadequate coping skills can no longer hide. Your spouse sees what the others miss. Not to shame you, but to refine you. Why? Because God uses marriage to sanctify you. He uses the tension, the testing, the uncomfortable conversations, and the daily demands of selflessness to transform you into the image of Christ. In the context of marriage, your anger is tested, so you learn gentleness. Your fear is surfaced, so you can grow in faith. Your control issues are confronted so you can learn to surrender. Your pride is challenged so you can walk in humility. But this is not punishment. It's purpose, God's purpose. God designed marriage as a place where transformation happens, not in isolation, but in intimacy.
And you know that marriage can bring out the worst in you. Did you know that? It can make you clown. And your spouse sees some things in you that other folks don't see. But God does that not just to expose the sin. Yes, that is. But God does that in a marriage relationship for purification of the marriage. Because he has to get rid of those impurities in our hearts. And when we're able to see ourselves, my heart and her heart, we're able to see ourselves, then we can deal with our heart issues and work on becoming what God would have us to be. And as we work on ourselves, as we perfect ourselves, we are perfecting the marriage and experiencing God in a new and exciting way. So, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to experience God as a couple, you must pursue his purpose. You must practice obedience. And the third thing we want you to know is if you're going to experience God, you must pray without ceasing. You can experience God as a couple by spending constant time in prayer and listening to his voice.
1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Now, the writer of this text, when he says pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean we must always be mumbling prayers. He's not talking about that, but we should be constantly praying. It should be a reoccurring event that takes place in our life. So our prayer is our direct line of communication to God. God's listening ear is never on silence mode. There's never any business signals when we are praying out to God.
And I have to admit that I have said to my husband on more than one occasion, why did you make that decision?
I'm the man.
And true to his counselor nature, he always reminds me, never ask the why question. And I said, but Jesus asked why. But it wasn't that I was just inquisitive about it. I didn't have peace about the decision he was making. I thought my idea or my thoughts were better. I thought my
discernment was better.
I thought my solutions were better. So it bothered me that he would make the decision, and often we wouldn't agree to it. So I prayed to the Lord, you know, give me a submissive heart. Give me a heart that is submissive to him in whatever decision he decides to make. And instead of worrying about it, God led me to know that I could trust him. He led me to Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So the more I worried about decisions he made, the more I was forfeiting God's peace. So I promised God that I would choose to trust him. I would choose trust instead of worry. And I would practice trust. And when I prayed constantly with thanksgiving, his peace quieted my anxious heart and reassured my mind that he was in control. But God doesn't promise I'll always understand what he's doing. But he does promise that when I pray and give thanks in all things, he will guide my heart and give me peace.
Amen.
I realize, and I say this to myself all the time, Cynthia, it doesn't have to make sense to you.
And I've said the same thing to her.
And I may not always get what God is doing or know how his decisions are going to turn out. But when I don't get it, I can rest assured that God has got it.
Amen. Amen. And prayer is necessary because we are dependent upon God. We were created to be dependent worshipers. Here's what I mean. God formed Adam out of the dust, but Adam couldn't breathe on his own. So God had to breathe into his nostrils so that he can breathe. And then God had created the Garden of Eden for Adam, but Adam had no way of getting there. So God had to Uber him there. Then when he got there, he began naming the animals and realized he was lacking. There was no helpmate for him. And so now he's asking, I need something. I'm insufficient. I'm missing something. I'm lacking something that I can't provide myself. And God says, Adam, you passed the test, son. Go to sleep. You know God can bless you while you're sleeping. Go to sleep, son. And God brought the woman to the man. And Adam said, hallelujah, I got a woman. Help me, right? When he saw a woman. The point is, we are dependent upon God. And prayer is an acknowledgement that we're insufficient, that we are deficit, that we're incomplete, and we have needs that only God can meet. And so we rely on God to provide what we can't provide for ourselves. That's an old hymn that says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, right? He's like, oh, blessed Savior, I come to thee. We need God, and we need to always seek him in prayer, praying for our spouse, praying for ourselves, praying for our families, being thankful for what God has already done, the protection he's provided for you, the security he's given you, the provisions he's blessed you with that's undeserving. Have you been blessed by God today? How many times you prayed and God answered your prayer? How many times have God showed up and made a way out of no way? How many times have God showed up and showed out in your life? Do you have at least one thing that God has done for you that answered your prayer, that has blessed you in a mighty way? We need to pray and stay in connection with God, acknowledging that we depend on him. And that's how we experience God as a couple. So if you're going to experience God as a couple, you must pursue your purpose. You must practice obedience. You must pray without ceasing. And finally, in closing, you must partner in service. You can experience God as a couple by serving as one in his kingdom.
1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. My wife and I, so you want to ask something?
Well, spiritual gifts are not earned, but they're graciously given. Not for self-exhortation or a personal platform, but for the building up of others in the body. And they are to be used for humble service. If your gift is speaking or service, don't do it with human effort alone, but with dependence on God's strengths. He empowers the work he assigns. He doesn't assign the work you approve.
Ooh. Ouch. And I'll say, add to what my wife said. As you serve together, and we both said this, and we say this all the time, nothing facilitates spiritual growth more than serving as a couple. Because even couples we work with in counseling, we always encourage them, you got to plug into a ministry somewhere. So nothing encourages spiritual growth more than serving, because you are connecting with other couples. You are planting seeds in the lives of other couples. You're engaging other couples. There's a sense of accountability with other couples. And as you serve, people come to know who you are, and they know what someone's wrong. So you begin to share your life, what you're going through. They share what they're going through with you, and you lock an arm with them, and y'all both walking together through the process of spiritual development and healing. That's why it's so important to serve. Serve as one, as a couple, to really experience God in a real way. I'll just give you an illustration of this. My wife and I, we love to counsel, we love to teach. And all we're doing is planting seeds in the lives of people. We're edifying couples, husbands and wives. We're planting, we're cultivating fruit to help them become all that God would have them to be. And some of you all sitting here today has been touched by us in one way or another. And we see the fruit as we look over throughout the sanctuary, we see the fruit of how God has used us to touch your life. But you may not know this about me. I love to garden. Right now, I have some cucumbers growing in the back, some okra growing. My green onions died. No problem there. And I've tried my hand at cantaloupe and watermelon. And what I've discovered about watermelon, it comes off as a nice, starts off as a nice, beautiful flower on an individual branch. But you've noticed, though, that branch is connected to a vine. And along that vine, there are other branches with flowers on the end of them. So it's important to be stay connected to that vine, because that vine supplies the nutrients to that flower that's going to produce fruit. Not only that, but in order to produce fruit, that flower has to be pollinated. Pollinated occurs when pollen from one flower come into contact with the flower of another. And so once that happens, the fruit develops. You have a full-blown, full, mature watermelon. And when it's completely mature, it will drop seeds into the soil below that will germinate much of the same type of fruit. What am I saying? All I'm saying is, as you are serving in ministry, all you're doing is pollinating. All you're doing is locking arms with other people and helping them to produce fruit that brings glory and honor to God. All you're doing is helping them with their marriage, helping them in their communication, helping them in their conflict resolution, helping them to please God, to love each other. That's all you're doing, and they're helping you to do the same. All you're doing is pollinating. You're helping each other. You're edifying each other. And then when you're fully mature, you're dropping seeds. You're planting seeds of the gospel in the hearts and minds of others. Hopefully that seed will find fertile ground and will germinate and produce more of the same. James says this, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Aren't you glad about it today that God can use you to make a difference in the lives of others? That's what you're doing when you're serving, y'all. You are helping others connect with God. And those who don't know God can come to know him. And those who know God can grow in him. And as you're helping them to grow, you're also growing yourself. So you have to use your gifts to edify the body. All of us on a different branch. Your branch is not my branch. What I mean is, your life context is not the same as ours. Some of the struggles you're experiencing, we're not going through those same struggles. Some of the things that you're dealing with in your marriage problems, we're not dealing with them. Or some that we're going through, you may not be going through. Also, in other words, all of us are on a different branch, but glory be to God that we're all connected to the same vine. Jesus Christ, who changes us, who gives us the nutrients we need to grow, and the one who gives us our blessings to help us to glorify God by conforming to the image of Christ. So if you're going to experience God in your marriage as a couple, you must pursue his purpose. You must practice obedience. You must pray without ceasing and partner in service. We'll close by sharing you all our experience and how we have experienced God in our marriage. Cynthia and I came to Good Hope years ago, and we were involved with the men's ministry, women's ministry. Pastor asked us to do that. Although we were ill-equipped, I want to say ill-equipped, inadequate, say it that way, but we were still green. But yet God put it on his heart to let us lead those ministries. And then Cynthia and I was asked by Pastor Frank McGee, who was here later on, to start a marriage ministry. And so we decided to start a marriage ministry, and Pastor McGee said, here's a book I want you to read, The Marriage Repair Kit. Read this book. This is going to help you begin to get organized and begin to develop teaching outlines for marriage ministry. And my wife told me today, don't show that book. That's tacky. But I'm the man. I made a decision. But no, this is more than just a book for me. This is monumental for me. It reminds me how far God has brought us. Yellow pages and everything, worn out. So God began to do some things in our lives, and I found out, unbeknownst to us, that God used us to start the first formal marriage ministry in the history of Good Hope. We didn't know it at the time. Now, I did my research now. I talked to Deacon Tibbs. Deacon Tibbs, how long have you been a member of Good Hope? Well, since 1960. Great. Pastor Tibbs. I said, okay, now. I said, did you have a marriage ministry back then? He said, no, we have a marriage ministry. So our lady came to me and said, oh, Rose, I forgot to tell you, we did have a marriage ministry. I said, what was it? He said, well, here was the marriage ministry. If you want to get married, you go talk to Pastor Lucas. He asked you why you want to get married. If your answer was good, you got married. That's the marriage ministry. But God used us in a mighty way, y'all. He brought us a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. And we went from using this book here to using another book called Marriage Without Misery that God has allowed us to co-author ourselves. We're using this for counseling. We're using it for premarital counseling. We're using this, and we're teaching this to, internationally to pastors in Caribbeans, pastors and church leaders in the Caribbeans. We've been in Chattanooga, Tennessee, teaching at conferences there, Fort Worth, Texas. I'm going to be in Williamsburg, Kentucky in July. So God's been using us and using us in a mighty, mighty way. And there's over 100 copies in Uganda, Africa, with Mark Sloan. And he's using it in the seminary training pastors on how to do marriage counseling. So am I bragging? Yes, I'm bragging. But not on myself. I'm bragging what the Lord has done and can do. Not just in our lives, but God can do far more than he's done with us in your individual lives. If you pursue your purpose, if you practice obedience, if you pray without ceasing, and you can partner in service, and God will bless you in a mighty, mighty way. Yeah. Amen. Here's a very, very important point I want to make right here, right now, as we close out. I want to say to my wife that I thank God for giving you to me. And I would not be the man that I am today if you were not by my side, supporting me, loving me, accepting me in my imperfections. And you know, I ain't about nothing. Some of y'all ain't about nothing either. But you are my everything. And I love you for taking this journey with me. I'm excited what the Lord's going to do in the future until we are in eternity. I love you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Lord, we thank you for what you've already done, not just in our lives, but in the life of this church. Every single member, Lord, has been touched by you in some way or another. Every one of us, Lord, you have given us a gift. You've given us a command to love, but you've also given us a commandment, Lord, to serve others, to reach the lost with the gospel, to edify those who are members of the body of Christ for your honor as well as for your glory. So, Lord, we pray as you please. Allow us to experience you like never before, at work in our marriage, as we seek to fulfill our purpose, to practice obedience, to pray without ceasing, and to serve in your kingdom for your honor as well as for your glory. We commit our hearts and our minds and our life right now to your hands. Lord, have your way. We thank you. We love you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank God for that wonderful message from Dr. Rose and Sister Rose. Now, Dr. Rose, you done made it hard for our brothers. We're going to talk later. But we thank God for their heart. They told us what God expects in marriage. They didn't make it up. They told us what's real. And they use the word of God to help all of us to understand how God has designed marriage and how marriage looks according to his will. Those of you can and will, please stand on your feet. We've heard from God. We've heard a powerful message. God has used his servant to remind us afresh what he's done for us over and over again. Perhaps you came today thinking Pastor Cofield would preach. We're glad you're here. Perhaps you came because you wanted to be with Mama and Grandma. We're glad you're here. But there's a greater reason that somebody is here, and that was to hear the word of God. And you've heard it more than once. God spoke to you today in a very clear voice. Today you have a chance to respond to what God said to you. Not to little brother, not to little sister, but to you. God has spoken to you. And now is an opportunity for you to respond to what he has said to you in your heart. You've not had an opportunity before, but today you have a chance to come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today you have a chance to say, I believe that Christ died for me. Today you have that opportunity. It's been explained to you. Reverend Rose did a good job of asking a question and responding. So many responded, but there is somebody today that could not answer those questions. But you have a chance today to come just as you are and say, I believe, I accept Christ. We're waiting on you. This is the day for you to come. You've heard the word. You have an opportunity right now to be intentional in what you decide today. God is speaking to you in a very powerful and clear way. And now it's up to you to respond. So we give you an opportunity right now, upstairs and downstairs, to respond to what God has spoken to you today. As Minister Taylor sings for us. We invite you to come now, wherever you are in the sanctuary. Come on now.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. He will give you brand new life. Life abundantly. Oh, come. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
To
come
Christ.
On. If you're here, be worried about being the first one. Don't worry about it. Come on now.
We offer Christ to you.
Think just for a moment, because I'm just feeling like somebody here might have said, you know, man, I came to hear a word today, and I'm not married. I'm not a couple. I don't have a significant other. This message was not for me, but I need you to hear God talking to you, because the points of the sermon that were specifically applied to a couple actually can be applied to your own life. Like, if you're going to really experience God in your life, you need to pursue His purpose. You need to make God's purpose for your life your priority. Each of us has a purpose. You have been created with a purpose. The question is, are you willing to make God's purpose for your life your priority? Or are you going to take your purpose and give it greater value than God's purpose for your life? Second point, pray without ceasing. Man, praying is not just relegated to a couple. You got to pray for yourself. You've got to learn how to pray and stay in that constant place of prayer if you're going to experience God fully. Third point, I'm talking about just how do you, second point was practice obedience. Oh my God. And they don't get no more individual than that. I said, you got to practice obedience, right? You got to practice obedience. So you've got to pursue His purpose. You got to practice obedience. Number three, you got to pray without ceasing. And then the fourth thing is you have to partner in service. And watch this, you may not have a spouse to partner with, but you need to partner in the body of Christ. Because the Bible says we should serve one another. Here's all I'm trying to get you to see. Don't discount what God is saying to you, because you may not fit into what was talked about today as a couple, because what's good for the couple is good for you as an individual. Come on, can somebody say amen to that? So if you're here today, and you need to make His purpose your priority, if you're here today and you need to practice obedience, if you're here today, you need to pray without ceasing, if you're here today and you need to make serving your passion, I want to extend the invitation for you to come right now. Up in the balcony or downstairs to my left or right, here's the wonderful thing. These people who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. You don't have to make a decision publicly. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just come down and we will welcome you. You can use the QR code that's on the screen. For those of you who may be streaming and watching with us, you can indicate in the chat, I want to accept Christ in my life. You don't have to use that QR code. There are people who are in the chat right now who will take you to a special room virtually. If you want to pray, they will take you to a special room virtually and pray with you in person via Zoom. Just let them know. Say, man, I need somebody to pray with me right now. We're going to sing it again. And if you're here today, I feel somebody wants to come. If you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. You can use the QR code, but we'll rejoice when you come. Celebrate when you come. Come on. Come on and come.
All for Christ to you.
Come on, make God's purpose your priority.
My brother,
come on, practice obedience today.
All for Christ.
Come on and pray without ceasing. Come on and make your personal relationship with God what He wants it to be.
He will give you brand
and what you need it to be. Come on and come.
New life abundantly.
Somebody told me something just the other week, so let me do it again because the Lord just brought it to my mind. Turn to the left and right and introduce yourself to the person, y'all. Some of y'all been sitting next to the person the whole service, ain't said nothing to them, y'all. Tell them who you are. Tell them your name. Let them tell you their name. Sitting there the whole time, ain't spoke to nobody. Just been looking straight ahead. Now, here's the reason I wanted you to do that. One, I wanted you to get the chance to meet the person next to you. If you sat in the same place last time and you basically talking to the same person, just make some noise. Just make some noise. Okay, so some of y'all sitting next to us, that's good. Y'all sitting in the same area. So you should already have spoken. Amen. You should have already said, hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? What's your name? What's your name be? Yeah, there you go. So here's what I want you to do now. I want you to look at that person, and I want you to ask them, how can I pray for you? I want you to ask them, how can I pray for you? You all ask each other, how can I pray for you? And then I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to pray for each other. I want you to pray. See, one of the things that I've learned, sometimes people say, man, pray for me. You say, okay, I'll pray for you, and forget all about it and never pray for them. If you introduce yourself to somebody, they didn't know you, whatever, I want you to take some time right now. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray for that person specifically. And they say, man, pray for me on my job. Pray for me in my home. Pray for my peace of mind. Pray for me because I'm about to act a fool on my job, and they're going to fire me if I do. And so I need to pray my strength, whatever it is. All right, just whisper a quick prayer for them, and then I want the other person to pray for the other person. And somebody, you're struggling right now because you say, man, I don't pray in public. If you just say, Lord, bless them. Father God, bless them right now and give them what they need in Jesus' name. Now listen, if the person you prayed with said, you know what, I need to get my life together. I need to give my life to the Lord. I need God in my life. Why don't you say, come on, I'll walk down with you. If both of y'all said it, then both of y'all walk down together. Amen. We're not talking about church membership. We're talking about a relationship with God, who can help you where you are to get to where he wants you to be. And I want you to know, and those who are watching, you don't have to be a member of our church to become part of a life group. You don't have to be a member of the church for somebody to pray for you. You don't have to be a member of the church for somebody to care about you, to love on you. That's what God has called us to do. That's who God has called us to be. And we want to love you where you are to help you get where God wants you to be. We're going to sing one more time. We're going to sing one more time. And as we're singing, I feel the Holy Spirit moving on somebody's heart. Come on and make that step today and say yes to God. Come on and come right now and say yes to God. Come on.
Please.
Come on and come.
Offer Christ to you.
Come on and come. Come on and come.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, shucks. Come on and come.
Please.
Say yes today.
Offer Christ to you.
Say yes today.
Oh, my sister.
Say yes today.
Will give you brand new life abundantly. Oh, come.
Come on and come.
Come on.
Move, Holy Spirit. Move by your Spirit.
Oh, come.
Move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit.
You who are weary and heavy.
Lift up your hands towards those who have come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those who have come. God, you know what they've been through to get here today. And we thank you that you know what you have in store for them moving forward. I pray, God, that each person who has made a step today would find all that they need in this season of their life to make serving you their priority, to have a relationship with you. And I pray, God, that as a family of faith, we can wrap our arms around them to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Move by your power and have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Come on, let's thank God for those who have come. Amen. 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 All right, Good Hope, it's time for the offering. Amen. Come on, I said it's time for the offering. Amen. Man, we are grateful and thankful for the opportunity to worship the Lord in giving. Come on, let's thank God for the roses, allowing God to use them on today. Wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that a blessing? Man. All right. Baskets are at the door. As we receive our offering, there are six ways you can worship the Lord online. If you'd like to worship that way, from Givelify to Apple Pay to, PayPal, Google Pay, I'm sorry, Text to Give, however the Lord leads you to give, Cash App, give as God has blessed you, give as God has prospered you. We don't want you to miss the opportunity to be a partner with God in the kingdom building work. Those of you who have children and children's ministry, are we family worship today? Huh? We are? Okay. All right. Well, then nobody should be leaving to go get your children. Some of y'all getting ready to take a beeline, but y'all like, oh, wait a minute. They sitting next to me. Okay. You're going to turn around and leave them. Amen. All right. We appreciate, though, all of you coming, and we pray that God has blessed you in a special, special way. Don't forget, our graduation celebration is coming up the end of this month, and we will be celebrating all of our graduates from wherever you're graduating, at whatever level. We want to encourage you in your graduation to continue moving forward. All of the mothers, will you please stand wherever you are? All of the mothers, stand wherever you are. All of the mothers, all of the mothers, we've got a special gift for all of the mothers. We want to show some love to all of the mothers. We got some going upstairs, ushers. Keep on standing until you get your special gift. When you get your gift, you can be seated, all right? Amen. God bless all of our mothers on today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a special day. And remember, you are special to the Lord. Amen. God bless. Amen. Miss Sharon, how are you feeling today? You doing good? Give me a thumbs up. You good? All right. We missed you. Had such a great testimony. Amen. Glad to see you. All right. Now, where are our first-time visitors? Do we have any first-time visitors with us? If you're a first-time visitor, please stand. We just want to recognize you and thank you for coming and sharing with us, all of our first-time visitors. Come on, let's thank God for our first-time visitors. Amen. Amen. Keep on standing. Keep on standing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your belongings. We've got a special reception for you, and we've got a special gift to give to you to thank you for coming and sharing with us today. We know you passed so many churches to get here, and we want you to know we don't take it for granted that you came to be with us on today. We want you to know that we love you. I hope the handshakes and hugs and smiles made you feel welcome and made you feel at home. But if by chance it didn't quite work that way, please come back again and let us do it all over. We thank and praise God for you. If somebody came with you and you're visiting with us, look at them and tell them, come on, go with me. And so you can go get your gift and get your reception. Tell them, come on, let's go. All right. God bless you. God be with you. Follow the lovely lady or handsome gentleman upstairs holding the sign for guest relations. And come on and go with us. What a great day we had today. What a great day we had today. Amen. I want to thank CC Chambers for allowing the Lord to. Thank you, Jackie. Did Jackie do a great job? What a blessing. She has some CC anointing all on her. Just has some CC anointing all on her. And thank her. I want to thank the choir, and I want to thank the poetry factory of Gray and Gray. Hilton and Emerson did a great job, man. I know their mom and dad are so proud of them. And man, appreciate them so much. And then we thank God for that word. All hearts and minds clear. Listen, man, have a great Mother's Day today. Celebrating that Mother's Day, celebrating your mothers, remembering your mothers. On tonight on Real World, Real Talk, I'm actually going to do a tribute to mothers. And if you want, you'll have an opportunity to call in. So you can call your mama and tell her to listen to the show, and then call in and tell the whole world how much your mama means to you. Whether mama's here or not, you're still making it on mama's prayers and grandmama's prayers. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let me ask the Roses if they would to come down front here. Make sure you come by and let them know how you were encouraged, how you were blessed by their message on today. Let's look to the Lord. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy, to the all-wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. God, as we leave this place, may we never leave your presence. May your spirit rest, rule, and abide with us. Allow us to make it back to our respective places of rest and find all things well. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Show at least three people some love before you leave. Don't count the three folk you rode with. Come and let the Roses know how you were blessed and encouraged by that word today.
God is doing something wonderful in me. God is doing something wonderful in me. Something awesome and incredible.
Happy Mother's Day. As you leave this place, greet your brother or sister. Tell them God is doing something wonderful in you.
God is doing something wonderful in you. God is doing something wonderful in you. Something awesome and incredible. He will get the glory. God is doing something wonderful.
Showing up on the outside.